Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. Adam Morris is a blind film director. Deseret News says that Adam just recently directed the Google Javier in Frame ad for this year's Super Bowl. Adam joins us to talk about the commercial and his path to filmmaking. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
So Aware Now says that you became blind in 2009 at the age of 19. What caused your blindness?
My blindness was inherited from a genetic condition, a mitochondrial disease called LHON, Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. Myself and my brother both lost our eyesight at the same time. And it was pretty rapid. Within a few months or several months of deterioration, we were both registered blind and lost the majority of our eyesight.
How did you and your brother cope with your blindness?
Well, we coped with it in different ways, for sure, but I will say that going blind brought us closer together, because until then, we weren't super close. But, you know, through the process of having this very unique shared experience of sight loss and it happening, you know, simultaneously to us together, it brought us together, made us closer as brothers and we've been, you know, helping each other to cope ever since.
You waited until your first film premiered to make your vision loss public. Why?
Well, unfortunately, there is still a lot of discrimination and prejudice against people with disabilities, especially in the entertainment business, my industry, and it's... It became apparent to me whilst I was pitching my movie that my blindness was sort of the deal breaker for, you know, the companies or decision makers that were considering, getting behind me. And so once I figured that out as a common denominator, I decided that, you know, if I could, which I can, you know, get by or around with my condition being private, and not sharing my blindness, then that's what I was going to do. And that's what I did. And then I was able to get the backing, for my first movie. And to be honest, I couldn't blame any of the execs or the people who were doubting me at that time or having question marks over the concept of a blind filmmaker, because it's, you know, ironic to even say aloud, you know, because film is such a visual medium. And I think, yeah, that there was no reference point for any of the people that I was trying to convince, that it was, you know, the right move and a good idea to believe in me, because no one had done it before. So, I did what I had to do to get my first movie made. And now I can be that reference point for others. You know, the reference point I never had for the next generation of blind artists to look to me and, you know, take confidence and encouragement and point to me, to those decision makers, to say it is possible. There's someone out there doing it.
Yeah, and that despite being blind, you could make movies. The Muse by Cleo site says that you first realized that you were creative when you were just a kid. How did that come about?
I think I've always just been, you know, quite a playful person and enjoyed making people laugh and having fun. And for me, you know, my job is just the most fun thing in the world ever, you know, getting to tell stories and, you know, play make-believe, really, and you know, manifest art into reality and create these experiences for people to share together. And when I was a little kid, it was, you know, just using the tools that I had access to, which was just my voice and my body, and, you know, doing impressions of family members or impersonating people on the television. And so, yeah, you know, performing was my first love, really. And I started out as an actor before I got into filmmaking, and I was doing theater, and was on stage when I started losing my eyesight.
Why don't you do one of those impressions for us? Come on.
Oh, wow, you put me on the spot.
Yep.
All right, all right, all right. Tell me, how many times a day do you... No, I'm not going to say that. No, I love McConaughey. Green Lights, one of my favorite books. Got to say, he's an inspirational guy himself.
I liked him in the movie Contact. So,
oh, yeah.
You idolized even a great film director, Martin Scorsese. Which movies of his did you see growing up?
Oh, all of them. All of them, every single one. I think Goodfellas was my entry into his filmography. And after I saw that, I think I was maybe 11 or 12, so definitely too young to be watching it, but I saw it.
Goodfellas. I was little when that movie came out, too. It's an intense one. I'm Italian, and I can relate to the family drama in this film.
it is an intense one, but it's so beautifully made. And everything from the way he uses, you know, music and soundtrack and obviously, you know, some of the shots and moments in that film are just so memorable. That really started me on my way to just, you know, studying his entire body of work. And it's hard to, you know, like list my favorite Scorsese movies in an order or rank them in like a top five, but you know, Goodfellas is one of those where it's, you know, it's just so easy to rewatch. I mean, if I had to throw some others in there of favorites, I would say, you know, The Aviator, Gangs of New York. I mean, of course, you know, you've got Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, those classics. One movie I really loved of his that, you know, was a recent film that I think went under the radar a little and not as appreciated was Silence. I thought that was a really beautiful film.
Wait, just called Silence or Silence of the Lambs?
Just Silence.
Silence, okay.
Yeah. It was with Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver. A really, you know, powerful story about faith. I actually had my eye on that project, for some time because it was announced many years ago. And I know that Marty was trying to get it made for a long time, and it had a different cast originally attached to it. It came out many years later, and so I was excited to see it when it got released.
That really got you into directing. How'd you start on that path to directing success? Did you even go to film school?
No, I didn't go to film school. Quentin Tarantino says, I went to films. I just kept going to the movies every week. Or sometimes, you know, multiple times a week or weekend, even sometimes, you know, seeing two or three films in the cinema on the same day. And that was my film school, and also Blockbuster. That was my film school too, you know, going in there and just, you know, renting or re-renting movies by my favorite directors. I would, you know, go down, there and use that really as my place of study and learning and do it all in my own time. I really found that, you know, making films as well was the biggest sort of learning curve and education into understanding the technical side of, the filmmaking process, you know, lenses, the different jobs of each department. And so, yeah, when I decided I was going to, make my first short film, you know, I went into it with all the confidence in the world because I wrote the script for it, but yeah, I was really learning through directing my first short film, The Window.
But didn't Elliot Grove teach you, though? I understand he was one of your earliest mentors.
Yeah, he was, you know, somebody that I took a lot of inspiration from going to his, you can call it a film school. It is a film school, but it was, you know, it was just such a short course that I did. I don't think it would be... you know, classified as like a legit qualification by most people. But I did learn a lot actually, you know, there on a rain dance course. And Elliot was a great, you know, person for me to, you know, speak to during that time and send short scripts and, you know, soundboard ideas. And again, like I say, just somebody to, you know, take confidence from who just kind of, he was just somebody that made me feel like anything was possible really, and just gave me a lot of optimism about what was achievable and possible in this industry.
Tell us about your first short film that you did.
So The Window, it's a film that was actually inspired from my sight loss. Although it's not a film about blindness, it's a short film about time, luck, fate, destiny, and windows of opportunity, really, hence the title, The Window. And after I lost my eyesight, well, after me and my brother lost our eyesight at the same time, that to me was just a sign from the universe that brought me closer to God and really, you know, solidified my faith in higher power and everything happening for a reason, and allowing yourself to trust in, you know, the path that you're put on, and be guided by, you know, love and light. And for me in writing the story, The Window, it was about me trying to explore the concept of the butterfly effect, and really minor decisions having a massive ripple effect around us, without us even knowing a lot of the time. So, you know, essentially it's a film about two friends that crash a house party and they get separated by a coin flip that decides which one of them gets in. And, you know, we flip between both perspectives of each guy and see at the end of the night, when it boils down to this big climax, how it could have all changed from a single moment, a window of time, a window of opportunity closing. And so it's kind of like Sliding Doors meets Superbad.
What do you think are your major strengths and weaknesses as a film director? I'm asking about both.
My mind doesn't really operate in that paradigm of focusing on negatives or considering weaknesses. I mean, of course, you know, I just try to every day get better at everything that I can. And so, you know, I just think of, okay, what are my lesser strengths rather than weaknesses, and try and, you know, strengthen those further, whether it's, you know, my understanding of, you know, writing structure, or my, you know, technical knowledge of cinematography and cameras. And really, I just think like my biggest strength that I have is my sensitivity to people, and just love for the and fascination from the human experience, and intrigue into psychology and characters and storytelling. And, you know, that all started with me as an actor, and it's all transferred now into me as a filmmaker and as a director. And, you know, I just, you know, I carry that same excitement and interest into every project that I take on. And so, yeah, I think, you know, being sensitive as well as an artist and as a blind person, I found that, you know, through the loss of my sight, it's really opened me up emotionally even more, and just increased my sensitivity as a person, which in turn I think has made me a better and stronger artist in being able to convey emotion and connect with collaborators.
How do you do job of film director as a film director who can't see?
Well, I actually think that my job as a film director is no different to any other film director who, you know, maybe fully sighted or not, you know, being on the blindness spectrum, it really doesn't change the macro process in any way, because we're all doing the same thing. Me, Martin Scorsese, every other movie maker out there, we're all taking images from our mind's eye. We're communicating them to our collaborators, and we're taking something that doesn't exist, but then we're all seeing it in our third eye, and we're sharing a vision, and then we're putting it on a screen, and then we're bringing it into existence together. We're manifesting it as a shared creation. And so it's really the same process for me, how I direct film, as it is for anyone else with sight. It's, you know, downloading and tapping into my vision, which is different to my sight. You know, it's what I see in my mind's eye. And like I say, being able to communicate these ideas and images well enough that it's, you know, coherent for people to see the same picture. And then we put it on the screen together. And it's a really beautiful process that I enjoy so much. And I think that, yeah, for us directors, it's really just a series of taste choices that we choose from all the time based on our artistic instincts and intuition.
What's your typical day like as a film director? What's the process?
Well, it depends on what stage of the filmmaking process we're in. If it's development, then, you know, it's a lot of, you know, reading or writing or listening and writing in my case, and meetings and conversations and phone calls about how to, you know, progress a story or a package from a business sense, with my producer's hat on. But, you know, once we get into pre-production and then we're counting the days down to principal photography, then the intensity really ramps up. And then once we get into filming a typical day, I mean, that's the thing I think about this job, which makes it so, so awesome, is that no 2 days are ever the same. So it's actually, you know, impossible to even answer that question and give you what a typical day is, because there's no such thing. Like, every day is different as a filmmaker, whether you're in filming, every day is different, or if you're in post-production or pre-production, or even if you're in marketing, or like I say, even in development, any stage of the process of filmmaking, every stage is going to give you different curveballs and different things to react to in real time. And I think that's what makes it so exciting, that it's, you know, it's always changing every day, and every project's different and every day is different.
So every day is different in your job. You must work with a lot of digital equipment now, right?
Yeah, you know what? I do admit that if I wasn't born when I was and was trying to make films, you know, not now, then it would be, I don't know if it would be as, well, I won't say that it wouldn't be possible, because I really have the mindset that anything is possible, but it would be way more difficult. Because I have a lot of digital equipment that gives me, you know, accessibility.
So if you weren't working in filming, mm-hmm. what would you do instead?
Music, for sure.
Music. I heard you also mentioned soccer.
Well, I am a big Manchester United fan, and I love football, or soccer, as it's also called. But No, for me, that's the thing. Like, I see music as an extension of film. So, you know, it's still, you know, creating within the arts. And I mean, like, I have a lot of music that I've written and recorded that I've not released yet. So that's something, you know, that I have plans to put more focus into and share with the world, at some point soon. But yeah, outside of the like world of entertainment and the arts, sports. I think being involved in the sports industry in some way would be the next thing that I would, you know, feel passionate doing. And specifically, yeah, soccer, football, you know, is my big passion outside of film and
football with a big U, right?
yeah, or futsal as I used to play because I played for the National Blind VI League in the UK and played for London futsal, which is like the same as soccer, but five players in each team, indoor, on a smaller pitch with a smaller ball. I just, you know, for me, it's a chance to be creative, really, you know, the way you can express yourself on a soccer field or football pitch. I think it's an art form in itself, really.
Speaking of football, we're going to get to the football with the OO because I watched the Super Bowl, and I was watching the Super Bowl during the commercials on CBS, and you recently directed the Google Pixel Super Bowl commercial called Javier and Frank. How did you speak out to do this brand new ad narrated by the one and only Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, it was, you know, such an honor to direct the film, you know, for such a coveted spot as the Super Bowl. And it played, you know, right before halftime, which was just, you know, the best place for it to have been seen. And I was just so overwhelmed and excited about how it was, how it came out and how how everybody reacted and responded to it. You know, the outpour of people that have reached out to me since and said that they felt inspired watching it and or empowered. It's really been incredible.
If our listeners want to make filmmaking their career, what should they do?
What should they do? Well, I think the best thing you can do is go out and make a film and not wait for somebody else to hand you an opportunity, and don't make excuses about why you haven't made your first film yet, because there's no excuse in this day and age with, you know, digital filmmaking. It was different before when you had to save up money to get to buy celluloid, you know, film and purchase some, you know, 35 mil and stock film. Now it's different. You know, everybody has a camera on their phone almost, and you know, it's a lot easier to get access to cameras, and, you know, so many people are interested in making films now. So it's not going to be hard to find collaborators either. So really there's no excuse. If you want to make a film and you're listening to this, then what are you waiting for? There's nothing stopping you to go out and make a film right now on your iPhone and make something really beautiful, and let that be a calling card or a showcase to say, this is what I can do with no money. And then try and get a little bit of money to make your next one, and then a bit more for the one after that, and progress.
Well, Adam, thanks for coming on today, and we look forward to more of your great work in the very near future.
Thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure.
Before we go, listeners, I welcome your comments on this program. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Speak Out Blind or Speak Out for the Blind. You can also check out my website, that's speakingoutfortheblind.weebly.com. More information on today's show is posted there. Just look under the list of episodes and show new tab. In my show archives at speaking-out-for-blind.pinecast.co. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening. And remember to speak out.
Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Jeff Thompson. As part of our iPhone 101 series, which you can find on www.blindabilities.com, just type in iPhone 101 into the category section and you'll get access to all the iPhone 101 demonstrations. And in this addition to the iPhone 101 series, we're introducing Quick Bites, where we do some quick little demos that help you navigate and utilize the features found in the iPhone. And for the most part, they'll work in the iPad and the iPod as well. So if you have any feedback or any suggestions, give us a call at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's get the show started. Have you ever wanted to look something up in settings and don't know where to go? Well, if you go to settings and swipe down, you'll find a search field there where you can type in or use dictation to enter a query. And this option works out great when you're looking for terms like backtap. Where's that located? Well, it'll give you some options to choose from. Tap on the options that it gives you and you'll find what you're looking for. Or you'll discover some things that you just may not have known about settings. Searching in settings. First of all, let's go to settings.
Settings.
Single finger double tap.
Settings. Heading.
And with just a single finger swipe left to right, you'll end up in the search field.
Search. Search field.
Now you can either dictate with a two finger double tap and dictate back tap right into this search field, or you can type it in with your keyboard simply by typing in back tap. Remember, that's two words, back tap. And then single finger tap on search, which is in the bottom right hand corner of the on-screen keyboard.
Search.
If you did use dictation, you can just start swiping left to right and you'll enter the populated list that your search invoked. So once again, single finger swipe left to right.
Back tap, search field.
Single finger swipe left to right.
Cancel button.
Again.
Search results, touch, accessibility, right arrow touch.
And there, I'm on my first one, and I'll try it again.
Touch, accessibility, right arrow touch.
Okay, I only came up with one response, so I'm going to single finger double tap.
Touch, heading.
And because it said touch, I know that I am in accessibility under the touch category. So in touch, back tap just happens to be the very last one of this version of iOS. So let's do a four finger tap near the bottom.
Double or triple tap on the back of your iPhone to perform actions quickly.
And that's the description of Backtap, so let's swipe back single finger right to left once.
Backtap on button.
And there we are. Now let's single finger double tap.
Double tap, none.
So once again, single finger double tap.
None.
And the cursor defaults to none. But if you swipe single finger left to right, you'll go through a bunch of these settings. However, if you switch your rotor to headings,
characters, headings,
then you can navigate through this list by headings. Now that we're set to headings, you can flick up or down until you get to shortcuts.
Accessibility, heading. Scroll gestures, heading. Shortcuts, heading.
There we are. Now I'm going to go swipe down to read text.
Read text.
With just a single finger double tap.
Selected, read text.
I've just set up my double tap option for back tap to read text. So let's back out of this.
Back tap, back button. Double tap, read text.
And we'll swipe down one more and go to the triple tap setting for back tap.
Triple tap, none.
Single finger double tap.
None.
And once again, it defaults to none. Now my situation is going to be quite unique compared to your situation. I happen to be setting up two shortcuts instead of setting up gestures. You can choose any of these you want. I highly suggest you swipe on down through this entire list and just explore and see what options are available to you. And under the shortcuts heading, those are shortcuts that your phone will find and populate this area. I've created some of these shortcuts and here they are. Your shortcuts listing will be unique, unique to your phone, unique to you as a user. Now you can swipe down or switch your rotor to headings and go through by headings.
Headings.
I'm going to go down to the shortcuts category.
Shortcuts, heading.
Single finger, swipe left to right.
Classic invert. Magnifier. People detection. Zoom. Calendar events. Blind abilities on the web.
And I'm going to choose single finger double tap.
Selected, blind abilities on the web.
This is a website I frequent quite a bit. Now I use the back tap gesture by triple tapping on the back of my phone case. And yes, you can have a case on for the back tap gestures.
Web page loaded.
And boom, I'm on the www.blindabilities.com website. Just like that.
iPhone 101, voiceover recognition, image descriptions, screen recognition, text recognition, and using the rotor and setting up quick settings.
And that, my friends, is the double tap and triple tap for the back tap gestures. Turning on lock sounds, keyboard clicks, and system haptics. Have you heard those keyboard clicks while typing? Do you like hearing that lock sound when your phone locks? Is your device vibrating just a little too much when getting that system feedback? Well, if you go to settings.
Settings.
Single finger double tap. Down to sounds and haptics.
Sounds and haptics button.
Single finger double tap. And way at the bottom, there's three settings. The first one I'm going to mention is keyboard clicks.
Keyboard clicks off.
And it's a toggle on or off. Toggle it on.
Keyboard clicks on.
Pull up your keyboard on your mail app and see how you like it. If you don't like it, come back here. Turn them key clicks off.
Keyboard clicks off.
The lock sound.
Lock sound on.
That means when you're locking up your phone, it makes a sound so you know it locked. Or maybe you don't want that to happen. But that there too is a toggle
on
or toggle off.
Lock sound off.
Then we have system haptics. Now this is toggled on or off as well. If you toggle it on, single finger double tap.
System haptics on.
Take your finger at the bottom of your screen and keep constant contact, but slide it up partway, and then slide it up a little bit more, then slide it back down and all the way back to the bottom, then let go of the screen. Kind of cool. If you like it, leave it toggled on. If you don't, toggle it off.
System haptics off.
These are just three little toggle on, toggle off settings in sounds and haptics. Explore it. See if you like them. See if you don't, toggle them on, toggle them off. If you got any questions, give us a call, 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you.
When we share
what we see through
each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations and the realities
of blind abilities.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, download our app from the App Store, Blindabilities, that's two words, or send us an email at info@blindabilities.com.